When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. Sorry we're a little late. We had some technical issues. You know what? And I don't like to say this. I'm not this type of person religiously, I swear. But it is the most technologically annoying retrograde. Okay. I don't like to pay attention to when retrograde is happening because then I worry that I get psychosomatically, like, make it a hard time for myself. You know what I mean?
Imposing stuff on yourself.
Yeah. Like I'm like, retrograde's coming. Get ready for it to be bad. And then I didn't realize it was retrograde. And every single episode this week had some sort of weird technological thing. For example, I was in the middle of recording and I recorded on QuickTime and suddenly it just stopped at like 45 minutes in and said, disk is full. Cannot do anymore. And so then I had to figure out how, because I have like the 2 terabyte or the 1 terabyte cloud purchase plan.
Yeah. Thing.
So I was like, I don't know what to do now. Like, I don't, beyond that, what do I buy? Like, I don't know. How do I fix it? So I had to figure that out. But then the audio hadn't saved. So it was me talking in mute the whole time. So I had to re-record that episode. Yeah. That was just one example. So I feel like that's why your camera's weird.
I know. I'm so like zoomed out. Like normally I'm a little closer and I don't know what's going on. It's all
like you can't physically get closer to the camera. I swear it's one of the, it's a thing. I did it one time too, where I was like, how do I tap it and get it closer again?
Right.
I know. I don't know what's
happening. Should I put a hat on?
Ooh, let's see. I like it.
Okay. We'll do that.
You look like a little kid right now. You got your little backwards cap and your glasses and your shirt. You're like, you need a little backpack.
I know. Full on Dora the Explorer right now.
Yeah, totally. Hi, everyone in the chat. We're only live on YouTube today because Instagram, the StreamYard does not really know what it's doing over there yet. So we're just going to keep it here over on the YouTube. So hi, everyone. Max goes, are the cats sleeping? Always. These cats sleep a lot. That's how they do. They got the life.
Right. Socks
so do dogs. So do dogs. Yeah. Like I get so jealous. I'm like, all you do is sleep and you're so peaceful and happy about it.
I know. I wish. Sleeping is my favorite thing to do. Literally, next to eating. If I could eat, if I could eat in my sleep, that would be just the best day ever.
Kendrick, I kind of do. You know, I have my nighttime eating issues.
Yes.
Well, this is okay. So, Just to call myself out, this week I decided to try to like eat less. I'd be really, really on top of it, like do my intermittent fasting, whatever. But what kept happening was then it would hit like 8 p.m. and I was like, I'm actually ravenously starving. And because I have binge eating issues, even with being on tirzepatide, it's still like it's a mental thing. Mm. It's not a real like physical hunger. It's just like, you know what I mean? So, okay. One night, I went to bed. I'm like, just go to bed. You're hungry, but that's fine. Just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You had one solid, fabulous meal. Yes, it was like healthy, and that's why you don't feel satisfied, but I don't care. Go to sleep. At midnight, I was awakened by something. I don't know what. And I fucking put a pizza in the oven. A little pizza. It was a little, but I turned the oven on. I put a pizza in the oven. I had an alarm set on my phone. So when the pizza was done, I woke back up and I ate that motherfucking pizza in my bed at 1 a.m. Like my eyes were shutting and I was eating the pizza.
I had, so you know, I cheat on, usually on Fridays.
You are Friday so good normally, that you only cheat once a week. That is insane, Kendrick.
Well, since I've come back from the cruise, it's been a little harder. I've still been managing to lose weight, but it's been a little harder to like get back on schedule. So I have to like be super conscious. Oh my God, I left Professor Stanley Ogilvy in the other room.
Professor Stanley. That's a great name.
I'll get him later. But it's been hard, like, coming back from the cruise because I've been, like, off it for a whole week.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so I bounced back because, like, I've been, like, losing everything. Like, gym was never an issue. Still going to the gym every, you know, like, keeping my schedule. But it's just, like, I don't know. It's, like, I just will, like, get something tempted with me. And usually I can just be like, no, I'm okay. I'm doing this and I'm all right. But now it's just like, well, it's pretty early in the week. Like, I can do this now. Just go up the cardio a little bit and I'll be okay. And I'm starting to make that excuse a little bit more. So now I've had to, like, rein it back in. I'm like, nope. Okay. I'm like doing this. But all that to say, Friday is when I usually cheat. And so. Yeah. I always have my meals planned, like, days in advance. I know exactly what, because when something strikes me, I know what I want to eat. So I'm going to eat it, and I won't be satisfied until I eat that. Yep, so yep, I have yep, my same. Mom, I had my mom cook for me this week. I wanted some of her, she makes an amazing, like, beef stroganoff. And so I had her make me that. I've had her fry some potatoes with cheese. Like, it was just an unnecessarily, like, fattening meal, and I enjoyed every bit of it. Of course, my sister's greedy ass came over. She ate too, and you know, all that. But then I went to the gym that night because I didn't want to get off schedule, because if I stayed on schedule, it meant that today, Sunday, was going to be my, like, off day. So I'm like, okay, perfect. I don't have to do anything. I can just sit and watch. I'm going to watch The Regime, because I've only seen one episode of The Regime on HBO with,
I'll watch it too then. I watched the first episode I also was like, I need to binge it. And so I've just left it. Oh, yay. Yeah. I love when we watch HBO shows.
I know. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So that's our Sunday. Okay. So, I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch that, all that kind of stuff, but I didn't want to get off schedule. But around, like, I went to the gym and I've left. I go, you know, I go at night. I love the night gym because that's my crowd of people.
You love your night.
I do.
I bet they love you too. I bet you're
I love them all. They're my people.
They're like, Kendrick is here. I bet everyone. I bet the whole staff talks about Kendrick. I bet everyone is like, you haven't met Kendrick yet? Oh my god, he only comes at night. We love him. I bet you. You're their fave.
I love them, and they like the people that go there too. Because when you go after work, it's like, good Lord, good luck getting a machine. Good luck getting a treadmill. Totally. Good luck getting, it's too crowded. Like, nobody wants
this.
That's
the worst way to go to a gym. When you have to, like, wait for something, it's like, oh,
exactly.
Get it. Hell,
it's like,
no,
I'm trying to, like, go through this. Like, let me do this. And so that's why I go at that time. But that also means that, like, when I'm coming home, normally I'm having, like, a super late night protein shake to, like, end my day. But it was Friday. It was my cheat day. So there's this store here in Memphis that it's, don't judge me, y'all, because I know y'all will judge me in the comments. It's kind of a gas station, but but, like, they've make.
See, no. Hey, look.
Oh my god.
I've heard many good things about certain, different states have different things that they do better than other states.
So, yes,
I believe you.
They have a whole little section like off the, like, the register and stuff over here, but they have a section over here where they make the best fried chicken. Like, it is like, literally, like, if y'all are Church's Chicken fans in the comments, like, better than Church's Chicken. You know, Church's Chicken be hot, good, delicious.
Better than,
like,
Church's Chicken.
Oh my god, you put that hot sauce on there. You know, I like to give me some ranch to dip it in, and I get the fries, give me an extra roll. Like, you know me, I'm a thighs girl. So, you know, I give me two thighs. I might give me a wing on the side. I might not eat the wing was too much. I didn't eat the wing, but I ate my two thighs, and then I ate my fries. I ate my rolls. Like, I had me a sugar-free Red Bull. Like, it was a good night. Okay, it was a good night. So I was happy about it. But all that to say, if I want something Sunday to cheat with, I'm not going to stop thinking about it until Friday. Like, I have to have it on that Friday.
Okay. I get that. That's amazing that you can wait that long. I have the issue where, because, like, I have the issue where if I get a craving, I'm like, well, I rarely know such specifics of what I want to eat. So I just better get it now.
I've had to break that because I'm the same way. Like, literally any excuse, I'll text my trainer. I'm like, what I said is retrograde. Like, we got to celebrate. Like, we have to, you know, we got to
celebrate,
figure it out. He's like, you actually don't, but okay.
I love that you have a trainer to text. Maybe I need to hop on that.
Because you know what it does? Even if you don't like, because you know, I'm pretty self-sufficient. Like, you give me my plan, you do my nutrition, I check in with you every week. Like, every Friday is when I check in. That's why I cheat on Fridays, because I do all my, like, okay, this is what I've done for the week, all this stuff, and then I use my Friday to cheat. But texting him makes me feel guilty about a lot of stuff. So I'm like, because I'm always thinking about Friday, and if I don't lose weight that week, I'm like, shit, that's because I know I did too much cheating this week and I shouldn't have been. Oh. Or like, I have to like go to him and I'm like, is this okay? And he's like, no, like, you don't need that. Don't do that. Or he might say, yeah, that's perfectly fine. So I have to check on him, but it gives me like another level of like,
that's good.
Makes me a little more guilty. Yeah, everyone needs a little bit of not peer pressure, but a little bit of like a mom looking over you, like
judgment.
You wanna accomplish? Yeah, a little judgment. That's the word. Yes, a little bit of judgment to achieve a goal. That's what it is.
You've got people in the comments that agree that there are such things as good, delicious gas station / general store type things. So that's for real.
Love this. And they're commenting about those Church of Chicken biscuits too, which, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
No, those biscuits really are good. I remember in high school, someone brought them that was, you know how like you sit in different groups when you sit for lunch, you know, you're like your friends. And we joked that this is like, we were like the United Nations in my class, because
the whole race of everyone,
everyone. And we all hung out all the time. Like, it was so great. And so I'll never forget when the Black girls brought Church's chicken. And they looked at all of us white women like, you're so stupid. You've never heard of so they gave us these biscuits, almost like it felt like we were getting like an, we were like, thank you. It was like gold. Oh my God.
No,
the first time I had that. That was so good.
I had to introduce my white best friend lives in Indiana. I had to introduce him because he goes to all these other spots. I'm like, can we just get Church's chicken? He's like, what is that? I've never actually been to one. And I'm like, well, let's fucking like change your world and let's go to Church's chicken. Like, cause what are we doing if we're not? And of course now, like all the time he's going to church. Exactly.
Hooked. That's almost the problem. Then you get hooked.
Exactly. He's a Popeyes boy, though. He's a Popeyes boy. So he's not tempted as often with it, but every now and then he's like, ooh, a Church's. That'll be lunch today.
You got me on the Wendy's.
Yes.
I ordered that last night. Didn't need it, but let me also tell you what Wendy's does. Wendy's does this so good. The sugar cookies. Because that's like my favorite type of dessert is a sugar cookie. It's just my favorite. And they're perfect. They're perfect. Like every bite I take, I'm like, oh my God, honestly, they need to release this recipe.
Right.
Good.
This
has definitely become a podcast. Sorry.
I know, always. Can't help it. But last thing we'll say about food is that I always, because people like, I feel like they're like, McDonald's has just been like the cultural obsession for so long. I'm like, there's a Wendy's right there. Like, why are y'all going to McDonald's? I just don't get, I've always, this might be
That's
a hot
thing.
This might be controversial, but I've always said the Wendy's chicken nuggets are like,
they're so much better.
So much better. Like,
beyond better. Like, there's no, you know what it is? Wendy's branding isn't as good as McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, you see, it's like you go anywhere and you see the golden arches and you feel like nostalgia.
Yeah, because you love it as a kid. You love those little the little Happy Meal boxes.
The Happy Meal. And then you go to like, if you ever got picked up to go to like a doctor's appointment in the middle of school, and then you got to go back to class with like McDonald's because you got to stop at McDonald's. Yeah, it's just such a thing. But you're the one who said to me, try Wendy's chicken nuggets and tell me how you feel. And I was like, okay, wow. Yeah, far superior.
Get you an array of dipping sauces and just go to town. It's amazing. And you know what? I was way too young to be as grown as I was at Wendy's, because I feel like Wendy's makes like some grown ass food. So like, I was like in elementary, my dad was like, what do you want to eat tonight? Cause he didn't want to cook. He's like, you know, I'll take you wherever you want to go. I'm like, let's go to Wendy's. I've been there getting a baked potato and some kind of like deluxe sand. Like, I was eating good at Wendy's, okay? And that fully loaded baked potato too. Like, you look, it does what it needs to do.
Wait, you know what's actually also really good, and I don't know why I decided to go this route, but the junior cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. Some, it's like the bread. I don't know. It's I like to get that and like squish it and just,
yes. Oh
god, because
it's the perfect amount of meat. Like
yes,
burgers at fast food restaurants can be so overwhelming because it's like there is some. That's what she said already. But there is so much meat in my mouth right now. Like, why is there so much meat in my mouth and I've only bitten into this sandwich one time? Like, it is so overwhelming. It's just like, okay, like, calm down.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, when those Carl's Jr. They always like to do, Carl's Jr. is always branding themselves as like, we have the most meat
right.
on our stuff. Like, and the commercials make me sick.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, that looks so unappetizing. It's like, you want this meat? And then we added bacon to it. And then we added another patty. And you're like,
That shows you how adult we are now too. Because when I watch something like that, I'm like, oh my god, I would have a headache for hours after eating that, because that much meat or ham or something like that would go straight to my head. Like I would be like dizzy trying to do something.
That's so funny you said headache, because when I know that when I eat like a lot of sugar, I'm going to get a headache. So as soon as I went to take that bite of that sugar cookie, I'm like, the headache will be here in 5 seconds. And then I just kept eating it through the headache. And then this weird thing happens where at some point you're like, I think this is making the headache better. I don't know. I don't like it.
It's like, what do they call it? The hair of the dog.
Yeah, exactly.
It just does what it needs to do.
No, I probably was correct, because like the withdrawals were kicking in and I was like,
right,
hooking myself up with more.
Last thing I absolutely promise. When I think of fast food cookies, I always think of Subway. Because Subway, when you get those chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven, or those white chocolate macadamia.
The white chocolate macadamia cookies.
My God.
Listen, those are a work of art, those fucking cookies.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. I'm not like, Subway is, in my opinion, quite subpar in many.
Yeah, I don't really fuck with
it a lot. It's only like if it is desperate, like real desperate. But those cookies are gourmet.
Mm-hmm.
Those cookies.
They need to do.
Jesus. The first time I had that, because I remember I was like, that's not usually my thing. White chocolate's just not usually my thing. But something just called to me and I never regretted it.
When you say call to me, for some reason, I pictured like Beyonce singing in Italian on Daughter, like just.
It felt like that.
And that's exactly what it feels like when those cookies are calling me. I'm like, okay, you don't need to sweet talk me in Italian. Here I am.
Exactly.
Here I am.
You don't need to sweet talk me into eating a cookie.
Exactly. There we
go. I won't eat a cookie. Okay, we got, got a little bit of an agenda today. Though we're going to be watching a lot of videos. Like I have a lot of clips to play that we will analyze.
You know, that's my fave. Okay.
I know we're like it's like in CNN or something. It's like, right. Let's go to the footage footage on. I feel the same way about it.
Love it. Oh my god.
So up first, now that we've had our food segment, is Shannon Bajor was on Jeff Lewis, and Jeff is like friends with her. This I will appreciate about Jeff. He will ask until it's uncomfortable, until he gets the answer, even though this is his friend. Like he hangs out with Shannon. And I feel like Shannon just must know that. So I'm shocked with the amount that she says, but we're going to watch what she has to say about the John Jansen of it all.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Better saying you need to come up with a payment plan to pay this money back. And so it culminated with me realizing that attorney's fees were going to surpass the amount of money he was seeking.
And regardless of whether you are innocent or guilty, right. Or yes. Okay.
Because I've been down that road before. I lost a lot of money in legal fees. So I also know the mental anguish that goes along with a lawsuit. So
yes.
Even though it's not warranted, I offered to pay John the exact amount that he wanted, but he turned the deal down because he didn't want to sign a mutual non-disparagement agreement. And that's standard in most settlements. And that's where you say you're not going to talk badly about someone. So
he wouldn't agree to that.
No.
But he's a private person.
It's frustrating because now my hands are tied. And my hands are tied right now. I, what am I supposed to do? Say, here's all this money that you claim that I owe you.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead, say whatever you want about me. Like, no, I can't. My attorney said I can't let you.
Right.
Do that. So I have to now go to trial, and you know, that's a lot.
So let me back up here. So there's the alleged amount owed is about $75,000. Is that correct?
That's what he's
so
saying.
What I guess I'm trying to understand. Did you borrow money from him? Did he give you money?
There were two times where he gave me money.
Okay.
And there were many times where I paid for things or gave, which you would say equates to me giving him money. So, you know, you want to go tit for tat? You want me to show the tens of thousands of dollars that I spent? You know, that's kind of what I'm doing right now with my time. And it's not fun. It's not fun to go back and say, okay, well, look at all your bills and say, oh, well, what did I do here this day? You got to look at your photos. It's like, I don't want to go back. I want to move forward with my life. I don't want to think about John Jansen.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about him anymore. I am in a really good place. Mm-hmm. Mentally, and I want to keep going forward, not backward.
What so kind of things like did you pay
over
for?
Over 4 years.
That were tens of thousands
okay,
of dollars.
Let me be clear.
Yes.
For the second half of our relationship, John paid for stuff.
Okay.
But at the beginning, I did. So when we traveled, the hotels, the airfare, I mean, I think John only bought me one airline ticket in our entire relationship.
Okay.
I always did. And so, you know, I took him to New York 4 times in 4 months in our first 6 months of dating.
And did he ever say, I'll pay you back?
Like sometimes he'd say, oh, can your stylist pull some stuff for me and then I'll pay you back? And then, yeah. And then he wouldn't. So that okay. was, you know.
But you're in a relationship. So you're thinking, no big deal. It's my gift to you. We're
I
together.
Thought, no, but
my money's your money.
Mine is yours.
Jeff, you, right. Like, you know,
yeah.
at the very beginning of the relationship, like he said, you're my future. You're my person. You're my future. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I felt this comfort with him right away. And I thought we were going to be together forever.
No, people think that you had a $75,000 facelift because in the press, it's saying that you borrowed $75,000 to get a facelift.
No.
That's not what happened.
Mm-hmm. No.
So what did happen? Like for that first.
But you do look good.
No, the first distribution, he gave you some money. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
So was it unsolicited? He offered it to you?
No. I did need money at the time. So I did say.
Did you ask him for it?
He said, I wish you could get a low interest loan. I go, well, you have money. And then he goes, oh.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
And then he sent the money. But there
he
was no.
He wired it. Yeah, he wired it.
But there was no agreement. There was nothing in writing. There was no payment plan. There was no.
No. No.
And did he ever, after he gave you that money, did he ever call you and ask you for the money? Did he ever talk about a payment plan?
In the lawsuit, it says, in his complaint, it says that he asked me multiple times. He never asked me ever.
So you assumed it was a gift, considering the fact that you had paid for him
mm-hmm.
all of those times. I see. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, that money was used towards a facelift. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it was more than 30 grand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And then what about the second time?
Well, the second time I'll just be truthful because I tell the truth, but, the show just, we were on a different payment or they stretched. We were like, we didn't air the show right away after we wrapped filming. So they stretched our pay out. And mm-hmm. so I wasn't getting paid as often. So I was getting the kids ready for school. I had paid for like the college counselors and stuff. So it added up and I was really stressed out. So, you know, I remember I was crying on a walk and he called me and said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. And then finally I said, okay, well, I'm just stressed out because I have these bills that I need to pay. And he said, let me give it to you. And I said, thank you.
And again, there was never a call, question, email,
but don't you think that when he broke up with me in November of 2022 and then in September of 2023, wouldn't you say, oh, and by the way, you know that money? Yeah, you need to pay that.
Right, but
he didn't. No, he didn't.
So the money was brought up about a month ago, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, why do you think now, after, you know, after a year, why do you think he's asking for the money now? Do you think he might need the money?
I don't know.
Or do you think maybe he mentioned it aloud to Alexis and she doesn't like that? And she's like, you should get that money back. Maybe she's,
I don't know. You have no,
I really don't know. I mean, yeah. Is he spending a lot of money? I don't know what he does for work anymore. I don't know. I don't know anything. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know?
So he was in insurance at one point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he did well. You don't know.
I mean,
isn't he kind of semi-retired now?
I really don't know, Jeff.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hmm. Okay.
And it was
just trying to figure out what prompted a year later to ask for the money, and then file the lawsuit.
Well, I've had two lawsuits. They both have Bellino around it.
Oh,
interesting, isn't it? A little bit.
All right. So you think that she's behind?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying, but it is. I mean,
it's
very coincidental.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No, but I don't know. I don't know if she had anything to do with it or not. I really.
Okay.
Can I say first, I'm so glad people in the comments are talking about how anxious Shannon makes them. Like anytime she speaks, she's that person that's always just like, she's not like visibly jittery, but like her voice makes you
her
think.
Her voice is so shaky.
Oh my God.
Her voice is always like, well, I don't know, Jeff. I don't know.
Right.
I was going to call him and then he didn't call me back.
Right. Like, okay.
Like, yeah. You always want to, she's always on the verge.
Mm-hmm. Always on the verge.
So, the non-disparaging thing, I saw someone ask, I don't remember who it was, if that is common. I actually do think it is, because I know that when people like settle suits, they're not allowed to speak about them.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Like they signed a thing that typically says like, okay, we're done talking after this. So I do think that is standard, but him not wanting to sign it makes me think
Bellino, baby.
And I feel like he's like, we've already filmed some scenes where I'm talking shit about Shannon. Mm-hmm. So I actually can't sign that. Which is gross.
Super gross. It says a lot about him in particular.
Yeah.
That he's not some like older man that just wants to stay at the spotlight. And, oh, I just so happen to be dating this woman that's on reality TV. And oh my God, how did this happen to me? Oh my God, now I'm in the spot. I've been thrusted into fame and all this kind of, just like, mm-hmm. Shut up. No one believes that. I truly believe that for him, I think one, the goal is, because I don't know if Alexis has signed on right now, like in a kind of, let's see how the season films to determine whether you're going to be full-time or a friend of, or if she's like full-blown, like cast member again. I don't know which one it is, but
yeah, I think you're right that they don't ever let them know, right? I think she did sign on like as a friend. I think you're right. I don't think she was given the housewife thing right away.
And so my easy assumption would be that they're in their mind saying, well, we need you to be full time. So let's do whatever we need to do. And one of that would be you constantly shit talking Shannon. So we need this beef. We need all of this to be on camera, and signing that agreement works out in nobody's best interest, at least on their end. It works out in Shannon's best interest, but definitely not for them. So he probably, because it's very telling. When you sue someone and they say, yes, okay, I'll give you this money.
Here's the money you're looking for.
Exactly. Here's the exact money you're looking for. Well, no, I don't want that. So it's like, okay, there's ulterior motives. Exactly. Our ulterior motives in play mm-hmm. here somewhere.
Yeah.
I think
Shannon's embarrassed because she did misrepresent John. At least to us, we thought that John wasn't paying for anything.
Right.
And that she was paying for everything. Mm-hmm. It turns out she was a woman on the verge yet again, like she always is. And he offered to help her. Or even she was like, well, you have money.
Right.
So it she kind of misrepresented that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like she was always crying and stressed out. That's like her MO all the time.
Right.
So I feel like dating Shannon is quite draining, but this man is taking it to an ugly place.
Exactly. He definitely wants to stretch his time. He wouldn't be doing all these damn, you know, putting out statements and all this kind of stuff. Like, no one cares what you have to say. Like, you don't need to put out a statement for anything going on in your life. Like, that's weird. I will say, though, I'm super happy Alexis is back, because this is going to be some good old...
She is bringing...
Some vintage...
Oh, you know what I just thought of? Okay, I just thought of something interesting.
Okay.
So when Shannon and Tamra had their falling out, I know that part of the reason Tamra was pissed at Shannon was because Shannon was being cool with Kelly Dodd. And Kelly Dodd had participated or put herself in the middle of the lawsuit that Jim Bellino had against Shannon and Tamra. And so Tamra was like, how could Shannon do that? That lawsuit was so hard on us and our families. How could she be friends with Kelly after that? Well, now we've seen on Instagram that Tamra's cool with Alexis.
Very cool with Alexis.
So it's interesting that now this lawsuit has happened and she's cool with the whole circle. Feels very vengeful a bit.
Like that. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
So this would be a good season.
I'll be tuned in.
I'm excited to see Heather's participation in it, because I can't figure out like where Heather's going to fit in it. But Heather got it pretty bad last year. Like, they kind of all came for Heather last year, and it was for like all these sort of unknown off camera things, because Tamra kept alluding, like, she just does all this stuff off camera.
Right.
I mean, if people really do that, and like, because I usually can tell, like, usually, like LVP, for example, you could spot her doing that a mile away.
Right.
Kyle Richards, you could spot this shit from a mile away. Heather, I just don't really quite see it happening. I feel like maybe Heather is just talking more shit than we would imagine. I don't know. But
my question is, because I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to go in the Housewives bank that lives in my mind. Am I mistaken in thinking that the last time like that group of women was together was when, I don't know if it was Gretchen or whoever, someone brought Alexis to like Tamra's party that she had? Like who did Tamra pull the chair from under?
Alexis.
No, it was Alexis. Okay. Wasn't that like, because I think...
Was that Alexis's last season, right?
I think so, because I remember watching a behind-the-scenes thing. I don't know where this came from, but I remember, like, Heather, like, beelining over to the producers and saying, like, why do you keep trying to make Alexis happen? I have so many rich girls that will do this show. I have so many friends that we can replace her with. I don't know why we keep trying to make Alexis happen. And so,
I didn't know that story.
I wish I could find that document. I wonder if it's a part of like one of the seasons on Hulu. I'll look. I remember that though. But oh man, you know what?
Ooh.
It was a part they did. Like Bravo did that 100th episode thing. That's what it was.
I think
I think it was a part of like that whole kind of thing. And so, or maybe 100, 200. They've had like 9,000 episodes. Who knows? But it was a part of one of the like milestone episode celebrations. And so they did that whole
thing. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So now I'm wondering, like, okay, have Heather and Alexis reconciled at all during it? Because it's been a while. So, like, have they reconciled at some point? Did they run into each other and, like, you know what? Water under the bridge. Let's be friends.
Well, they both have trans children, too.
Yeah. And I wonder...
I wonder if that's a bonding experience.
Right. But I doubt either one of them reached out to the other one and being like... they probably think, like, no, you're a terrible mother. I don't want to hear anything. Right? Who knows? I don't know.
That'd be some dirty stuff. Yeah, no, that's going to be a very interesting dynamic. Gina is lucky Shannon got that DUI, because I don't think she would have been asked back had that not happened.
Boy,
Shannon's going to have a season. Yeah. Shannon's going to have a season.
God,
I hate to say how much I love seeing her like that, but I thought she was going to have her like season, like her kind of bad season last year.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Not last year. The season that Heather came back 2 seasons ago with Noella.
Yeah, he has been back 2 years. Good God. Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was going to be Shannon's season, but Heather came in all wrong. And it was so weird how they threw Shannon under the bus for something they were all doing. I don't know. So like that didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. But for this one, for Shannon to be getting a DUI going into it, I'm like, oh.
Right. IA in the YouTube comments said that was the season they found she found out Peggy dated or slept with Jimmy Bellino.
Yeah.
Pure mess. My God.
And he claimed that Peggy became like his stalker. Yeah. Which is exactly what Jim Bellino would claim. Although who knows? Mm-hmm. Like Peggy did have a crazy little side to her. So
yeah.
Maybe. Let's see. Hold on. Apparently Shannon and Emily got into a huge fight on the flight to London.
Oh, yeah. I saw the pictures.
That was real. Because sometimes I couldn't tell if they were just trying to make it seem like there was a fight. Because like you could catch someone in the middle of making a weird face and be like, oh, look, they're fighting.
Right.
But on the plane. I'm jealous of everyone who was on that plane.
Right. But you also know that sucks because most likely it'll be them telling us what happened instead of us seeing it.
If a producer was on the flight, they will whip out a camera phone.
Yeah, I hope someone had a phone or something because I keep thinking about like on Potomac when they were flying to, I forgot where they flew to, but Mia and Jacqueline
had
that fight on the plane and everyone
and they had to, and they had to show it to us. It's like, and then this happened and then this happened. That's fun. That's where my brain went too.
Right. I love that.
We don't do body odor, okay? It's officially canceled. And that is because we use Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. I've been using it for years. And you hear whole body, you think, I'm sorry, I only use deodorant under my arms. Well, let me tell you right now, the whole body can have an odor. And this Lumi deodorant here is different because it was created by an OBGYN who was tired of having patients come in and say, I got something wrong down there. And she's like, no, it's literally just body odor. So she invented this deodorant so we never have to smell bad again. It's powered by mandelic acid. It controls odor for up to 72 hours. Now, I hope you would shower within that time frame, but if you needed it, it would be there for you. You can use this deodorant anywhere on your body that gets a little gross. Lumi is baking soda free, paraben free. There are a variety of scents. You can do clean tangerine. I have the Lumi body wash in clean tangerine and it is everything. They also make lavender sage or toasted coconut. I was a toasted coconut girl for a long time with the whole body deodorant. So Lumi's starter pack is really good for new customers because it comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. So like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and you get free shipping. And guys, we have a new offer. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off your starter pack. Use code SHESPEAKS for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code SHESPEAKS at LumiDeodorant.com.
Okay, let's get off this topic because we do need to eventually get to Martha's Vineyard. This is going to be a quick one because Simon Gwabadia is just remaining kind of nuts.
Yeah.
And this latest demand is really hysterical to me.
Jeez.
Okay. In the court documents obtained by RO, Simon is giving Portia until April 4th to deliver a nice amount of documents amid their nasty divorce. He wants her to turn over a copy of her passport and copies of her payments from hotels and motels from January 2024 until now. He's also requesting she show proof that she actually hired a bodyguard the day she popped up at their house with an armed gunman. He even wants her to turn over all the audio and video she's recorded at their marital home from February 2024 to now. Most shockingly, Simon is requesting Portia turn over all the communications she's had with True Entertainment, the parent company of Bravo. Simon wants anything Portia has sent them regarding him, their divorce, their prenup, and storylines as she prepares to return to The Real Housewives of Atlanta this upcoming season. He's fucking paranoid.
He's the weirdo. So it's him wanting her to turn over the passport. Did that have something to do with like him saying that like she was cheating on him instead of him cheating on her? Like, was he trying to say like she was in the country with someone like at that time? Or
he's trying he knows things. He knows he has predictions of things, right? If that's what it's feeling like. It's feeling like she's and he I don't know. Portia is good at lying. That is for sure.
Yes.
Portia's very good at, at making herself look one way. But either he really knows, because the armed gunman thing, like the her lawyer said, which is what I talked about last week, her lawyer was like, they're used to having armed security guard.
Right.
So that's all it was. So he's trying to prove that this wasn't a hired security guard. It sounds like she's trying to say he just showed up with some guy with a gun.
Well, maybe he's not technically security, but he was security for her. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that she had to have hired him, but she said, you need to show up and protect me because he's surrounded by security with guns.
Right, exactly.
But this is a mess. This is a mess. It's been a whirlwind, too. The way this, like, from start to finish.
Everything.
From the start, like, it was this big surprise, big surprise. And it was like, we had so many questions, and she just never answered them.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, keep asking. I don't care.
Which I'm okay with, because you're going to talk about on the show. Because, you know, I hate everything coming out and then we're not having any surprises for the actual TV show. So if that's the case, then perfectly okay.
Like, if we're going to get the full story of, like, what happened and all that. Oh, yeah, that would be juicy. And maybe that's why he's like, let me see what she's saying.
Exactly. And I also think that, like, that it's dangerous to do that, because now he has the, like, ball in his court this entire time. He can run and spin all these different narratives. It's kind of, I'm taking it back, and I hate to go here because it's when my favorite show went off the course, but when the fight happened between Monique and Candace, it was an entire year prior, and Candace wasn't speaking on it in that regard. She was like speaking in a different way, but Monique was going out there and like painting, like, I'm talking about, it was all kinds of stuff to the point where, like, everybody came in against Candace. But then once people actually saw the fight, it became a little more divided. People are like, wait, Monique said
that was the civil war of Bravo.
My God.
We've had many a civil wars, but that civil war was the most toxic. When
things changed. And
it's when everything changed. It's true. It's when everything changed, honestly.
Uh-huh. Well, sad.
Okay, let's move on to, I want to get everyone's thoughts on this. I'm apt to believe Drake Bell on face value. He did not skinny, not fat. And she asked him towards the end of the interview, she asked him about his allegations, right? Because we didn't really get to find out about that. So this is what he said. This is like 6 minutes, I think.
Responded on some DMs. Yeah, I mean, I just, I responded on some DMs and was incredibly irresponsible and got myself into conversations that I shouldn't have had. And I ended up finding out that, you know, I was talking to someone I shouldn't have been talking to. And it snowballed into these allegations that were not true. And it just turned into this big thing. And when I finally, I was being investigated, and that was really difficult on my family. And thankfully, through 18 months of subpoenaing my social media and phones and computers and witnesses and everything, it turned out that most of what was being accused of me wasn't true. But I did have these conversations, and so I took responsibility for that, and ended up pleading guilty because I, you know, I mean, just financially, I was just devastated, and I just had a son, and I didn't want to put my family through all of this anymore, and so I ended up going through the process the way that I did, and you know, very regretful, and you know, but I have to take, you know, there's just so much that I've had to deal with and through that, like I said, not having the tools or not knowing how to process things. You know, I made a lot of decisions in my life that I shouldn't have made, and hurt a lot of people. And but now, where I am at in my life now, I think that I'm finally at a place where I can process and deal with this, and through therapy that I've been through, and actively going through and unearthing all of this thing and being things, all these things, and being able to face them head on for really the first time in my life. You know, and like I said earlier, it's an emotional roller coaster. So it's a lot to handle, but finally, I think taking the right steps to work through it instead of the way I had been in the past allows me to hopefully do this in a healthy and safe way, and hopefully share my story with others and maybe prevent people from making the same mistakes or feeling confident to be able to speak their truth. And so that's all I can say is I'm just, you know, it's a process, and I'm working through it.
So just to kind of make sure that we understand with the allegations, then the things that she said, that you were grooming her since she was 12, all those things were not true. Yeah. What you were ended up, the only thing you did, you responded to a DM. You weren't aware of how old she was.
Yeah. And then I finally found out, and then I cut communication, and then things got, I think she got upset, and he was coming to concerts still. And I was doing everything I could to kind of keep my distance. And then she made all these allegations that things had happened at a concert, but throughout the investigation, I mean, there were witnesses who were there the whole time who refuted it, and people who weren't even connected with me that were friends of hers and her families that were there the whole time. And so a lot of the things that she said about message, about sending inappropriate pictures and things like this, it was able to be investigated and show that none of that existed.
Didn't happen. So your only responsibility there was, you would say, like, communicating, not knowing how old she was, not doing the due diligence of kind of knowing.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it. Yeah.
Wow. So don't you want to scream that from the rooftops, though? Because I feel like not enough people really know that.
I've put out statements on Instagram. I've done interviews about it. The New York Times just did a retraction because they had actually printed that I'm that I had to register as an SO, and that I pled guilty to SA, and things like that. And which is
not true.
Not true. None of that was true. And it took 2 years, but they finally just printed a retraction. And unfortunately, the New York Times prints it. Everyone picks that up, spreads that as the story. And that's what catches fire. Hopefully, in this whole journey, in this process,
things will come to light.
Yeah.
What else are you hoping that will come out of this whole process of sharing your story, doing interviews, being so open? What are you hoping that comes out of?
We don't need to hear the rest of that. I'm apt to believe, because I thought that's what had happened, that he had to register as an SO and he pleaded. Right. That's what I thought happened too. So if the New York Times issued the retraction, then I'm like, oh, then that didn't happen, right?
Right, right.
Am I just believing? Am I just too quick to believe?
No. Well, first of all, that almost was really hard to pay attention to because I was focused right
here on the overalls. Of overalls. Why?
Overalls? That and the hat together.
And the hat together.
Like, it was almost like
two. It was almost like two. I'm like a little kid on Nickelodeon again.
Right. I don't know if he was about to like conduct a train or like go barrel some hay. Like, I don't know what was happening.
He did have a conductor of the train look to him.
It was a lot, but the things he actually said, yeah. I'm the same with you. He has not done, I mean, but to me, he hasn't done a very good job of screaming from the rooftop, like she said, that any of this, because, you know, people hear the allegations. They don't always hear down the line that, oh, everything you knew back in January, well, it's December now, and all that was a lie. By the way, we don't hear that all the time. So it kind of seems like he was just like happy he was vindicated personally, like not, you know, not having to deal with a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know, I guess in his own life or with the court that he didn't bother trying to clean up his reputation, which I don't know if that's his burden to bear, but it unfortunately might have been because we don't know.
Jessica in the comments said, couldn't he sue the New York Times? Doesn't it feel like he could?
Right. If he, well, I wonder.
I don't know.
Because maybe they're reporting. If they were putting out stuff that, like, he about the sex, the restraining order or orders of protection, having to, like, get on the sexual offender list and all that kind of stuff. If they were saying that kind of stuff, which is easily verifiable, then I assume they could. But if they were getting, I'm guessing if it was, like, not to do with any of that and they were just reporting on allegations, then
I see what you're saying. Like if they were like allegedly, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know which category that falls in. So I didn't read it.
I don't know if I'm just quick to. I believed him. I just did. Yeah. I believed him. So
yeah. Especially, you know what I mean? I think that the documentary too. The new episode comes out today, doesn't it?
Yes, today.
I'm gonna watch that.
Episode 5 of Quiet on Set comes out tonight.
I'm watching that. I'll watch everything else, Potomac and all that shit. I'll watch that tomorrow. I'll watch that tonight though, because I will. You know, yeah. I want to see what's crackalating. So I'll watch that. But all that to say, his episode 3 of the Quiet on Set docuseries, it sold me on everything he had to say. Like one, I was. Everything he said about Nickelodeon, I believe. Everything he said about just anything in general, I believe. So it seems like he's on a truth tour right now. He wants everyone to, you know, even I, just like the New York Times, I had to issue him an apology as well. So I'm you know, gung-ho on kind of believing what he has to say.
Too am the New York Times.
Yes. Nothing that he's done has made me, like, thrown up a red flag, like, about, you know, the stuff that he's saying. So I'm inclined to believe him too. Are we silly? I don't know, but I'm inclined to believe him.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I'm not just being the only one. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Next up, Diddy.
Oh,
Diddy
dear.
News. Okay. So this, I'm not going to play it because YouTube will snatch it up so quick and be like, what are you thinking? There was this audio that was leaked that was allegedly Diddy and Meek Mill. So it's this former bodyguard who released this audio, and it's absolutely not them. It's absolutely just audio from a gay porn. Like, there are,
I feel
all
like
these,
I just scrolled right past the story.
Yeah, there are all these people in the comments, like, immediately fact checking it. And then it's just, it's like so not in any way believable, because this guy claims that he was, you know, he was still there after hours and he could just hear Diddy or someone just doing something, like giving it to him so hard. And I had to run up to the door. And yeah, I put my ear up to the door and I recorded it and whatever. And it's just, no,
yeah.
If you really wanted to document something like that, like, and for proof later, you would at least just have a video of it. Like, even if it was just of a door, because we wouldn't, even that would be hard to believe, but like just to do audio recording, and I'm not kidding, it's literally just gay porn.
You're right. It's so funny to me.
And this fucking guy is so stupid. What an idiot.
I wonder if it came from Pornhub or XNXX?
Honestly, I feel like, and I'm sure by now someone who's like, someone like new, they're like, I know exactly the video this is.
Right.
This, you know what I mean? So please, dude.
I followed that guy on Twitter. Like, yeah,
it's not real. However, the filing, the Jones versus Combs, whatever filing came out. And so I highly encourage you guys to read it. It is long, but it reads crazy. It reads fucking nuts. I don't have time to go through it all, but I'm going to give you like the base. This is what he says he has irrefutable evidence of. And then it goes into all the details. So just so you know what you could get, I'll link the PDF in this episode description. So you can just click it and read it from there. But it's pretty wild. So Mr. Combs required Mr. Jones to record him constantly. On several occasions, Mr. Combs took Mr. Jones' cell phone and began recording himself. As a result, Mr. Jones has secured hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Mr. Combs, his staff, and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity. So I'm going to read through what he has specific of, and I'm going to throw up while I'm doing that. This is one of the one of the photos that he has. You can't totally see, but what this says is Mr. Combs with an underage female. That's what this one is here.
Oh.
Underage female, sex worker. And then this one says Justin Combs with an underage female. Because also in this lawsuit, it's against Justin Combs, his son. Diddy's son is in there too. But here's what he has irrefutable evidence of. And this is what they go into further, okay? The acquisition, use, and distribution of ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, and mushrooms. The displaying and distribution of unregistered illegal firearms. Mr. Combs providing laced alcoholic beverages to minors and sex workers at his home in California, New York, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Florida. Mr. Combs' chief of staff, Christina Corum, KK, instructing her staff to retrieve drugs so she can provide it to Mr. Combs for his consumption. Christian Combs drugging and sexually assaulting a woman.
Oh.
Mr. Combs detailing how he planned to leverage his relationship with Bishop T.D. Jakes to soften the impact on his public image of Cassie Ventura's lawsuit. Young Miami's cousin and or assistant sexually assaulting Mr. Jones. Mm-hmm. Actor, I have this one. Actor Cuba Gooding Jr. sexually harassing and assaulting Mr. Jones. And that one is right here. This is him. That's Cuba right there. Uh-huh. Leaning over him. Yep.
Oh. And we've seen pictures of Cuba at those damn parties turning all the way up. So not a stretch. You know,
I'm so glad we said my friend, my bestie, Meryl. So a long time ago, back in my younger years when I was still dancing, I did a show called the Toledo Show, which is sort of like a local everyone in Santa Monica knows Toledo because he's been at this club called Harvell's for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba, I forgot. Marilyn reminded me. Cuba used to come to the shows and would creep everyone out. And I forgot. I'm like, not only did I have him when I worked at Senior Fred's in Sherman Oaks, it's now closed. I had him. He'd come late and we'd be like, oh, Cuba's here. And he's such a creep. Then I forgot. And he also came there. So he has just been running around town being a menace, a deviant, a predator. All this time, yeah.
Wendy Williams used to cover all of this, like, on her show, and she would always talk about, she showed a picture of, like, him at these parties, and, like, I remember one where he, like, I think he had his shirt off, he was dancing, he took, like, somebody's cell phone from her hand, like, hit him on the head with it, gave it back, like, it was just, like, weird behavior. So, like, it always feels like, allegedly, it always feels like there's a lot more play than alcohol, so I can believe.
Oh yeah,
you know. In
he was so coked out every time you saw him, he was so coked out, like you could feel it.
I love that I tried to like actually say it out loud. You're like, yeah, it was definitely coke. Yeah, he was
alcohol. Oh, that wasn't even a question. Like he walked in. Like there are certain people that have just cocaine energy, and he you were like, he'll be going to the bathroom every 20 minutes for sure to like do another bump. Okay, what else we have in here is rappers on Mr. Combs' yacht consorting with underage girls, sex workers, and R&B singer Redacted, so I don't know who, in Mr. Combs' Los Angeles home consorting with underage girls and sex workers. Also in this filing that is not listed on this is the shooting The shooting in the recording studio where Mr. Jones says he's totally been told, like, don't fucking talk, don't say anything, obviously. But then here was one that I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was what ended up happening. With the J-Lo day, right? Okay, this says he shared that artist, this is from the filing, he shared that artist and Mr. Combs' girlfriend at the time, Jennifer Lopez, aka J-Lo, carried the gun into the club for him and passed him the gun after he got into an altercation with another individual.
So J-Lo, you a bad girl? You a bad girl?
And I had to go back and look it up because it's been so freaking long since we went through all that. I forgot that what her lawyers worked out was that she never had to even testify. She didn't have to be in court. Like, he kept her ass out of that. I don't know if that, I think that's real, right? I don't know.
Maybe J-Lo really was from the block, because the way she always, you know, throwing it back to her day when she was 16 and all this stuff. Okay. Yeah,
to be fair, everyone, you know, I'm going to read through it again. I just did not have time. It's long. That could have been just something that he was alleging that he heard from someone else who confirmed something. Okay, so, it's not like he heard it from J-Lo herself or anything.
Yeah.
Because she would never say that, obviously. But I thought I read that. I'm like, am I seeing that correctly? Does that say J-Lo brought the gun in and handed him the gun? Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. JJ.
Right?
She needs to switch. Never mind. I ain't gonna make that joke. J-Lo, please. My goodness.
J-Lo, please. Okay, last, and then we'll get into Martha, is Brandy Glanville. There's been some movement on this lawsuit. Now, what's cracking me up is that Brandy's like, I feel vindicated. I am vindicated. And I'm like rushing to read what I can. Like, where does it say that she's been vindicated? So right. What has happened is executive producer Lisa Shannon has submitted the videos that pertain to this lawsuit. She's asked for the footage not to be seen, like for them to be sealed, which is fair, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to see that, but I'm like, give it to me.
Right.
And they go through their version, because now they're the defendants. The producers of this are now the defendants in this lawsuit that Caroline has put up against Bravo and the producers. So, so they're defending themselves. So in their defense, they explain that they asked Caroline if she felt safe, and she said she did feel safe. But then she says that she felt Manzo, hold on, here it is. She was disrespected by Brandy, but not sexually violated. That line is what Brandy has run with and said that she feels vindicated from it. And I'm like, okay, but they have to say something like that because they have to protect themselves. If they admit we did feel that she sexually violated or sexually harassed Caroline, then they lose the lawsuit.
Right.
So, Brandy, you're still dead in this town. They're still not going to fucking work with you again, because half the stuff that because Caroline's lawsuit is against them saying you knew how Brandy was and you still had her on a show where you supplied her with all this alcohol that you know she shouldn't be drinking. Basically, it's like you guys knew better. You let this monster run rampant, which what a lot of us have been saying.
Right.
Like, stop casting Brandy on these shows. Like, I could not believe she was brought back again after her crazy wildness on season 2. Of Ultimate Girls Trip. So Brandy's like going on Twitter and saying like, I am vindicated. And she's getting eaten up in comments. She had to turn comments off of one tweet because people were like, there's been no ruling.
Right.
Don't you understand how the court works? The court, like, they have to get up and say, no, we did not feel that that's what happened. Because if we say we did feel that's what happened and then we still let Caroline film, we'd be in fucking trouble. We'd lose this lawsuit. What are you talking about? Brandy, no one is like secretly thinking you did nothing and just threw you under the bus. You did something that they've been covering up for a long time and playing off for a long time. And now the wrong one got a hold of it. I think Caroline is being a little intense with the lawsuit, but that's her lawyer. Her lawyer is the one who's writing everything up and stuff. But
right.
So yeah. So I'm not believing that anyone's vindicated on anything here.
No, and I'm wondering. I don't know. I'm wondering like what footage is actually available. I'm trying to think, like,
and I thought audio.
They said, exactly. So maybe audio is what's going to actually solve this. But I keep feeling like, why am I remembering, like, they said this happened in a bathroom, allegedly. Mm-hmm. So, like, they wouldn't be in there with, like, the camera. If it was, like, a restaurant with the bat, like, they wouldn't be in there with their camera, would they? It had to be just audio or video of the door, I'm guessing. So, I don't know. But I'm trying to think what could be
I don't know if I got the story right, if this is a real version of what happened or if this is just like what was put out at one point, but I thought that they were the bathroom incident just had audio.
Okay like that would make sense.
It was just audio because cameras were down, and from what I remember reading, Alex McCord was the one who heard there was something happening in the bathroom and got production.
Oh,
that's what I heard. But at this point, I don't remember what version was considered right or not, because there's been a couple versions going around. So that's what I remember reading.
Right.
So
yeah, poor Alex McCord came out of retirement to do this, and and it'll never see the light of day.
There was something in it where Caroline didn't know who Brandy was or something. And one of the retaliations was like, of course she knew who Brandy was. It's like, I don't know. I feel like Carolyn Manzo has not been keeping up with any other shows on Bravo.
Right.
Like
that I don't know. That's weird to me too. Cause now I think she knew who Brandy was. I don't think she knew everything around Brandy. Like, she probably wasn't watching Beverly Hills, like, exactly. Keeping up with, like, her seasons.
There is no way Caroline Manzo was watching Beverly Hills.
Right. Outside. I think she knew who Brandy Glanville was, just, like, from probably Watch What Happens Live or events they've had to do to get, like, I'm sure, because, like, they both were there, like, you know, in the early seasons of the show. So, like, I have to think that, I don't know. I'd be, you know, kind of thrown off if she didn't know who she was entirely. Now, she definitely probably didn't know everything that Brandy had going on these shows. So that would make some sense. But I don't know. Everybody just please. J-Lo, please. Caroline, please. Brandy, please. Alex McCord, please. Like, everybody just, I don't know what y'all
poor
are doing
Alex
right
McCord.
Now.
that is the injustice of all of this. And
right.
What a waste of money. Like, they've spent so much money to make these Ultimate Girls trips. You know, they go on these, like, luxury vacations. And now they are not even going to be able to, like, run ads on it. Or I don't know how they make money on these shows. But there you go. They can't even do that. So
Jasmine M in the comments said definitely audio. Manzo said it was only her and Brandy in the bathroom, nobody else, no cameras.
Aha. Okay, so,
I'm wondering what footage they have to submit to, maybe stuff leading up to it.
I think what they had to submit, because in the filing, Caroline's lawyer, when I think I read the filing on here, when you read through the filing, it almost reads like scene for scene, moment for moment, like an exact thing we've seen Brandy do. It was like Brandy was drunk and she goes up to Caroline and spreads her legs and straddles her and is dancing on her and stuff. It was like, I think that they had to submit all of that footage because they did have that.
Oh,
so I think they had to submit all the shit because the filing goes over everything leading up to it. So I'm sure in order for it to be fair, they have to look at the footage themselves and see if it's accurate.
That's a little weird to me too, because first of all, nobody watching this, I'm assuming we all think Brandy did something. Like,
it's just Brandy's behavior. It's
right.
Just, like, even when she was talking to, when they were in the, one of the dinner scenes in season two, she says something like overtly sexual to the chef and the chef feels really uncomfortable.
Right.
So she's just like that.
See, I'm trying to make sure there's no, like, Brandy apologists down there. Like, no, justice for Brandy. Like, no, I don't think any of us are saying that. So that's okay. Good job, everyone. Right. Good job, everyone. But I feel like the thing that's really weird to me is putting out a statement like that doesn't feel good for either side, like nobody involved, mm-hmm. because saying that Brandy was inappropriate is still kind of an HR problem, right? Like, because mm-hmm. for one, I feel like that leaves a lot of like ground for like someone to say, okay, well, even if she didn't sexually assault me, she did this to me, which is still a problem, still fireable. I still need action against this company because y'all didn't do anything mm-hmm. to remedy this and all that kind of stuff. So that statement alone was just, I don't know. I feel like did that go through legal? Like, I feel like there's a lawyer at Bravo right now shaking their head like, who the fuck put this statement out? Like, who wrote this up and said something?
You mean the saying that it wasn't sexually violating or
what, saying that what calling it inappropriate, but saying it wasn't sexual? Because I feel like that's still like leaving.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is a weird. What I think it was a test. I think they were testifying.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
I think probably just in a boardroom, like one of those suits testifying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like one of those, like how they have to interview and get the sides and stuff. So they said, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. It's a bit of a Bravo's getting sued left and right.
Yeah.
Will we
have a Bravo to come back to?
Honestly, though, like, wait, who else just recently? Wait, did anyone see Leah McSweeney on Fox News?
Fox News.
Yep. Leah McSweeney was on Fox News talking about how she wants to move out of New York because of the crime. It's so bad. Like, why are you going on Fox News?
And why are you an authority on crime in New York?
Thank you.
What is happening? Goodness.
What is happening? If you are trying to be on a health kick like me, it's almost dangerous to go into a store because you can't walk past the good stuff. You're like, should I get a cake? No, don't. But then you do. So I love Hungry Root because I can do full-on grocery shopping. And I'm talking the good stuff. I have discovered brands that I had never heard of that do amazing healthy alternatives to food I crave that's not necessarily healthy. So the grocery shopping is top notch, but you can also look for meals. You can look up, that's kind of what a lot of people probably use Hungry Root for, to look up meals that they can make, follow some steps, etc. But you all know me and you know I hate cooking. So I literally filter it down to under 5 minutes. That is how much cook time and prep time I want. Okay. And so here is actually how it works. You take a fun, short quiz and Hungry Root gets to know you, what your goals are, how you like to eat. And so every week they build a personalized cart for you with what they think would be what you'd want to have for the week. Now, see, I like to clear the cart because I personally enjoy the shopping in the store. I actually have fun doing that. But they do put together things that I would generally like. And then you can choose, I liked that, I didn't like that. So then they get to know you more and more as time goes on. But they've got everything. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kid snacks, vitamins, supplements, everything. And here's the best part is every single thing from Hungry Root follows a very simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole, trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering She's Speaking with Emily Hanks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shespeaks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shespeaks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. You all know I know Cozy. So Cozy Earth has been a sponsor of this podcast for quite some time, and I couldn't love them more. I have two of their loungewear pants, one shirt, three fitted sheets, two towels, and I think I even have a cart that's full waiting for me to hit buy. Because I love it so much. And they give the most incredible discount to the listeners. We get 35% off when we use the code SHESPEAKS. Let me tell you about Cozy Earth, if you didn't already know. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating. So me, who runs hot, loves the cool viscous from bamboo sheets. Now, if you've never heard of viscous from bamboo, neither had I. But it is my new current favorite fabric. You have never felt anything so soft.
Let me also talk about these loungewear pants. Not only can you wear them around the house because they're so cozy, but they're flattering and like kind of elegant. So you can wear them out too. And I do. And did I mention that all products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty? And actually, something from Cozy Earth would be a great Mother's Day gift. Just a little tip. So head over to CozyEarth.com, use the promo code SheSpeaks, and you get an exclusive 35% off. The luxury she deserves.
All right. Let's go to Martha, because that brings us pure joy, and then I'll get us out of here. Sorry, it's always long. Sorry, guys. Okay. How creepy is Nick?
Super.
Dude, when he reaches forward and Summer's in the front seat and he's just like touching her arm and she goes, okay. And then he goes, that's me. And she goes, I know.
Jeez.
What are you doing? Why are you all the way up here doing that?
Right. Like, get back.
Why do I need you to touch me?
I feel like, too, it's so like in this day and age that like when others, whether it's a man or a woman, when people tell you like you're super touchy-feely, like it's kind of a problem for me to not like change that behavior immediately, because like, it's been going on for what, since last summer, now this summer. You've got a girlfriend. Like, everyone was wondering if y'all broke up because of the way you act around other people. Like, it's getting weird, Nick. Like, can we just stop it?
And then he tells Alex to rebeat Summer.
Yep.
I'm glad Amir was like, I'm glad Amir was like, is that because you want to beat it? Like, what?
Right.
Why are you pushing this?
That's a wild statement to hear on a Bravo show. For someone to say rebeat. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes, I know. I was like, ooh, take that out.
Right. Sure. Goodness.
When Preston wins the costume thingy, Nick is like, that's not fair. The rules were. Ooh. They're like, shut up, Nick. He was like upset.
Right.
He even goes in when they're changing out of their clothes. He goes in and tells Alex, he's like, you guys were picking on me too. You guys. They're like, you were trying to, it was a fake game. Like, it's not real. Like, it doesn't matter. And you're mad.
And no one, by the way,
stated.
As someone watching the show, no one took that costume contest seriously. I wanted people to like to bring actual costumes, because I feel like they were just like, well, maybe these pants that I bought at Forever 21 yesterday might work for that, even though I'm going to wear them to dinner one night.
This wasn't it. This was they pieced it together. It was so half-assed. And there's Nick like, guys, shut up, Nick.
Right. Get out of here.
They play some games. And of course, Shanice is like in her bikini, demanding everyone take shots and calling people boring and whatever. I'm just kind of like, I don't know why I'm over the bikini all the time, 24/7. Ooh. I guess it's her right to express herself however she wants to. She's got a gorgeous body, but it starts to become I don't know.
I feel like it's going to become a problem, because now I feel like so many of them are coupled off. That I feel like people are going to be watching and being like, oh, so she's naked around you all the time. And
you've
never addressed it, huh? And it's like, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. There's nothing else I can do. Because you can't like tell her like, oh, put some clothes on.
Yeah, because it's her right to wear what she wants to wear.
Right.
But But anyway, in this game, a question comes up. Who's the worst dresser in the group? And Summer says, Shanice. Now, there was no need for her to say anyone's name at all, but let alone Shanice, her friend, and Noelle, and we got it wrong. Last week, we said that Noelle was Bria's friend, I think, but Noelle is actually, according to the show, Summer's friend.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
According to that, yeah. But Noelle doesn't seem to know her very well, so I think you still were kind of onto something where she wasn't like that. There wasn't that much history there.
What's wrong with the end casting? Yeah.
Because Noelle is just like, ooh, that she gave a very Phaedra Parks interview soundbite. That was Shady Boots. Like, she's very Phaedra. Like, almost, it's crazy how she doesn't look like Phaedra, but she kind of does. I don't know. There's just something like they have like the cheeks or something. They're cherubic and like cute, but like, I don't know. They're very similar.
Very Southern. Very Southern.
Very Southern. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very Southern. Shanice gets super upset because she's actually broke right now and can't afford clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a point. This is like a button for her. And Summer doesn't even go to comfort her right away. Summer's just like, oh, what happened? I think Summer is actually like toxic, actually. I think Summer is a bit toxic, but like kind of on that Alex level where she thinks she's got like spirituality going on. But like, I don't know.
I feel like a few now, like watching the show, I feel like a few of them are like, mm-hmm. I can see that a couple of them might mm-hmm. get themselves mm-hmm. in some trouble. And I think that like some of the people that mm-hmm. we go like a little harder mm-hmm. on, like Jasmine, might mm-hmm. end up being like more vindicated at the end of the yep. day. Like some people are actually just like mm-hmm. fighting for their lives, as opposed to like mm-hmm. these people just being like assholes sometime. Alex yep. leading the pack there too, by the way.
Summer tries to comfort Shanice, to be like, no, I should, honestly, no one is the worst dressed. Well, maybe Amir. He's like, what the fuck? Why am I in it?
You're right. How did I get here?
But then speaking of Amir, this dance party kicks off and Amir is sitting off to the side, like on a chair, and he's texting his girl, babe, what am I going to eat now? And she's like, was this meant for someone else? So he has to go and talk to her in the other room. She's like, are you okay? He's like, not really. It's just not my style. I'm like, what's not your style? Dancing? Like this, I think you need to be careful with this girlfriend here. She seems up. You could still be dancing with them. Like, follow Preston's lead.
That's you know? Gonna, like, I feel like that's going to annoy the hell out of me. Like, I feel yeah. like now he might not be as good of a cast member this season because he's with mm-hmm. her. And that's I exactly thought it was going to add yeah. like, I thought it was going to add like an extra layer, like the way Bria and Simon are, because yes. Bria and Simon, I don't know if they belong together either, but he's fun when he comes in because yes. it's such a chaotic something, but he's always there in the background too. Her, I guess maybe because we haven't met her yet, but it feels like he's super careful about everything he does. And it's like, I don't want to come across on TV. This might bite me in the ass later. And it's like, okay, if you're already season two thinking about that.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Like, get it might yeah. be time to go.
Yeah. But he throws Nick under the bus, as he should. Mm-hmm. As he should. There's dancing and having fun. But then Shanice flashes everyone. She's got her tits out within very close proximity. And I at that point I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's Nick's fault. If he that's just right there. And it's right. not it's hard not to. Shanice yeah. loves being naked. She's the next day. She's talking about how she sent group nudes. She sent a group like basically a group text. Miss you all with my nudes.
She says she sent the best ones to the guy that she really likes, and then the ones that didn't make the cut to the mm-hmm. guy that I guess are like you know runner ups for that guy. And I would actually like to know a lot more about that system because I'm uh-huh, not.
What makes it your favorite? What right. makes it less
the lighting pleasurable? Good.
Uh-huh. I would like to know your criteria.
Right. I would like to know for future. I'm not sending none out.
I probably need to take some cute nudes myself just to have on deck. I feel like that needs uh-huh. to be something in my catalog.
At least, like, just for your own viewing, maybe like when you get someone yes. that you want to uh-huh. spend some time with, just them. But yeah, don't be sending them out all willy nilly, girl.
Well, see, that's the that's what freaks me out is that especially now you are now on a television show. But then again, she let them show the nude,
right?
So I'm like, sure she won't be embarrassed. Yeah, she's like, I hope they do leak them. I look great,
exactly. Like I'll get a new one in a like minute.
That's like a power move, actually. So you know what, Shanice? I'll give you that. I will give you that.
There we go.
Really cute. Noelle and Nick play chess. And apparently she's super into chess. She's been doing it for like 3 years. She even goes to Washington Park to play with people in New York. I'm like, okay, that's adorable.
Do you know, there's always something on TV that makes me want to like learn how to really play chess. Ooh. And I never follow through. Like when Queen's never. Gambit came out, I was like, okay, I'm taking lessons. Yep. I'm about to figure out how to yep. do this and I'm going to be just as good as her. And never did that. I started playing tennis instead. I was like, no, I don't want to play chess anymore. Ooh.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking I want to do when it gets, well, I guess it's warm enough. It's LA. I want to get a hot tennis instructor.
Ooh.
I think that would be good for me to practice like talking to a straight man, because I honestly don't ever talk to straight men.
Right. Because why would you?
Honestly. I just don't. Like, I literally, like, my brother-in-law is the only straight guy that I talk to, and that's it.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. Whenever I have another straight person around me, I'm like, what do I don't know what you guys talk about. Sports. I can get down with sports, though. Sometimes I can play. I don't know, like, players, but like, I know I was into football for a while, basketball for a while.
There you go.
You're a Dodgers family. But generally, I don't have like communication with a straight person. So I thought like a hot tennis instructor so that he's like teaching me something. And it would be me motivated. I'm thinking that's the plan. I'm thinking, because tennis is fun, but it's follow hard, your lead. But it's fun. Right?
But see, okay, this is the thing, too. I got to make sure that, like, I'm at the point until next summer. You know, I'm still on my journey of,
journey.
Being the baddest in the room. So once I feel like once I get there and then I want to keep my cardio level up so I can keep it off, then I might do it. And then my love story unfolds.
I love it. My love story.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah. I'll tell you the process I go, because I'm like, how do I even find the hot tennis instructor? Like, you know, I don't even know how to look for it. So I haven't even started, but I'll keep you guys abreast.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, like, I don't even know if you'd go on Craigslist or what, but then like you run into the killer.
Yeah, but I need, exactly. So do I go on Instagram? I think that might be where I start to see, because I'm sure that's become like marketing now for people. So
right.
I'm looking up that way. So we'll say, I will let you know the process.
Okay.
Okay. Jordan, she calls her dad to tell her dad that she got a hair deal and opens up about her alopecia. Now, those photos were shocking.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. No idea. And she said that she was at a shoot and they made her get a relaxer. And since then, her hair has been I would sue them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the hell out my of God.
Child. Better than
I
me.
Can't that because I for such she's so beautiful, too. So it's like, God, man, that's rough. Mm-hmm. That's rough. Because as she will say later in the season, we've seen in the preview, for Black women, their hair is their currency. And it's not just like, I need, you know, longer hair. The whole front of her head.
Because, you know, edges and all that, it's all like it goes together.
And that's honestly like the hardest part to fake from nothing.
Yeah. And you know what? For my own like ridiculousness, I'm glad she actually addressed this because I've questioned a lot of her wigs, like on whether it's like seeing some stuff on Winterhouse or I have, you're right. I'm just like, I'll admit to it. I don't mind. Like I've questioned a lot of them, but now knowing this, I'm like, okay, the options might not be there because, you know, alopecia hits, it's different for different people. Like where the patches are and like what happened. So that made me like, now I'm like, okay. Cause you know, that stuff like that, you know, like we're usually like more judgmental about people's character and stuff like that. Like the physical, it's funny if, you know, like somebody is in on the joke, but like, you know, wigs and stuff like that, it's whatever. Like you change a wig, like as you change the days. I thought she was just like not good at picking them. So that was my thing. But now I'm thinking like, okay, these might be the best options for her because they might cover certain areas that she might not want seen in that light. So it was eye-opening for her. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Maybe look at her in a different way because you know.
Yeah, same.
No, yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm.
They're all telling you to ask Toya from Married to Medicine about how you can get you a hot tennis instructor. There you go.
Oh.
There you go. Toya, our tennis queen.
Good point, guys. Good point.
There we go.
Okay, this is a question I have for you now, Kendrick, now that you're on your new health kick. Okay, so there's now going to be this next part. There's the brunch crew and the gym crew.
Yes.
Which one would you be choosing now, Kendrick?
I would have gone to brunch. I would not have gone to gym. Because, like, don't make the gym fun for me. Like, stop. I go there to, like, accomplish my mission, and then I'm out of there. So, like, if you want to, like, do, you know, a workout session with me, okay, we'll plan it and all that stuff. But, like, we're here for 2 weeks filming this show. Like, I'm okay. Like, no, I'm going to brunch. Sorry.
Yeah, if it was a normal gym where I could have done my own thing.
Right. That's a part of the issue, too. Like, you got all this newfangled stuff in here, and it's like, ooh, where am I? What is going on?
Yeah, Yeah, like I've done CrossFit maybe 3 times in my life, and I really hate CrossFit. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. It hurts me. It hurts my whole body. It's so aggressive. It's so, So that I would have not wanted to do. If it was just a gym and I could have like hopped on whatever, yes, that I would have been happy about because I could just like zoned out,
right?
Whatever. So if you're making me pick between these two options this particular time, yes, I'm going to brunch.
Right. And I'm always so, because that's not their area too. Like, you know, they don't live there. Some are in California, some are in New York.
Yes.
So I'm always curious about other cities, like brunching option. And so like, I feel brunch is something we always do when we travel. Like, you always got to find good breakfast spots.
It's such a part of travel. Exactly. Like, it's a required meal. Like, that is, you have to do that.
You got to. Even me, like, you know me, I don't do too much sugar, but like, I might at a brunch, because like, I'm like, okay, give me, I want to try those waffles.
The pancakes? Yeah, I want to try the pancakes, the waffles. I want to see what you guys are known for.
Some stuffed French toast. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah, like, I want to go to brunch and I want to order table food. Like, I want to get, like, we're all just going to order a bunch of shit, put it on this table, almost like a buffet.
Yes. Love that for us.
Love that for us.
Love that
I'm
for
there
us.
Right now and I'm having the best time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel it. Exactly. So the brunch crew talks about.
Well, I will say though, I'm glad Jasmine went with the bigger group.
Me too.
Because it gave her, more people to like get on good footing with in case you weren't. Because I feel like had she gone with the brunch crew, I feel like she would have gotten kind of, it wouldn't have been fun for her. She would have gotten shunned a little bit, like with Summer, Preston, and Jordan.
Yep.
I don't know how receptive they would have been if they had she gone with them at that point. So.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Good choice for her.
What I find interesting about everyone talking about Nick and the touching is that almost no one says he's actually being like creepy or inappropriate. It's just, what's that about? Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And that's cool of them. That's cool of them not to, because once you do that soundbite of going, it's really creepy and grosses me out and it's making me uncomfortable. And once you do all that, then it could become a bigger thing. But they're like, it's just like, please stop.
Right.
And the way Preston presents, well, I'll get to the way Preston presents it later, because that whole scene is really funny. but what I'm cracking up about, what reminded me, they showed a flashback of Tasia. And I wrote, oh my God, remember when she just showed up at the end of last summer and he was like, yeah, duh, my long-term girlfriend that I've had this entire time.
Right. Like, huh? Excuse me?
That was one of the weirdest reveals ever. He's like, Tasia, my girlfriend? Duh.
Like, no.
You've not mentioned a girlfriend one time. And you've, in fact, had an entire season of it being like, this guy is inappropriate. Or this guy is hitting on me. Right? Dude, I love, this is so fucked up. Okay, they get at the gym, there's those rings. So Amir is up there doing all his stuff. Bria, who was a gymnast, gets up there and does all this stuff. And then Alex, like, dislocates his shoulder.
God don't like ugly.
That was
doing all this stuff.
Oh, I couldn't even watch it the second time because I always watch it twice. I couldn't. Oh, God. Because I think like, when I was a little kid, I feel like I remember doing something like that, but like, he was all grown doing that. And oh my God.
Trying to impress people.
Exactly. Like, I can do that too. I have no business being up here, but watch me.
Why do I feel like that's something that would happen to Tom Sandoval? For some reason, I just like pictured him doing that.
Oh, I would love for it to happen to Tom Sandoval.
I know. And then crying about
it. Put him in a position where he has to do that, please. I would love to see him get injured like that.
Same. Okay with me.
So the brunch crew and the gym crew, they're sharing their grievances about the others. So Shanice thinks, and Shanice would think this, by the way, Shanice thinks that Summer is jealous of her because she's like, when we were in Jamaica together, I would be telling her all these stories about like these guys I date. And she'd be like, wow. And because like these guys have status, right? They're not like 9-to-5ers. And she'd be like, how do you get all these guys? And they'd be like, look at me. Like, hello. Like, look at me. Yeah. But then Summer thinks that Shanice never really just shows any emotion. And her version of Jamaica is she just like didn't have any deep conversations. It was just like, you know, surface stuff, which absolutely tracks, because if Shanice thinks that she's jealous of her because she was talking about all these guys that she dates and stuff, like that sounds like pretty vapid conversation.
Right.
But then she's like, that's definitely, she's jealous of me.
I'm believing Summer. I think that her account of the events is what actually happened. And also, can we talk about the bigger issue? Because, sorry, Shanice, but in the other scene, you were just complaining about how you don't have any money. But in this scene in Jamaica, you're bragging about these men that you date. So
yeah, why are they not hooking you up with stuff?
Exactly. What? So are you just hanging out with them? Like, what are you doing with these men?
She's like their booty call.
Oh, dear.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, dear. That's what it feels like. Oh, dear. Like, girl, if you...
I mean, not like... I don't know if she minds or not, but that's... There's not really, like, relationships there.
Right. And if that's the case, that's nothing to be jealous about.
Bragging about.
Imagine, like, I'm trying to think of who's uber rich. Like, why am I thinking Steph Curry for some reason? But he is real. I mean, let's go with that. Like, I couldn't imagine like being like, oh my God, I'm fucking Steph Curry. And then like, but I'm still like, everyone sees me struggling on the streets and shit. Like, is it a brag to be just treated like a jump off by an NBA player instead of like actually, you know, like being able to be taken care of by one or someone that actually will turn your calls that's not about sex like that? I don't know, that seems like a weird flex to me to be like it feels like the type of conversation, the type of thing that Shanice would brag about with the group of
because
girls.
She's able to drop the name so she's like, that's me, that's what I get to do. Totally.
Also, her downing the 9-to-5ers, it's like, girl, go get you one. So you don't have to, just saying, but okay.
Go get you a job, please.
Exactly.
Please. Thank God Preston asks how Alex was in bed, because I wanted to know too, but I thought she's going to get in so much trouble because she's like, you know, it's okay. It's like, you know, it's like not quickies. It's just not there yet. And then he's like, I am not even answering this, which was the way to go.
So yeah.
She might get in a little trouble for like kissing and telling, but like he's like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. You're crazy. I love that Noelle didn't know Summer and Alex had sex when Summer at the table yelled out, "You've been inside of me." She's like, "What?" And then they flash back. She was just eating the food. She was just like, "This lobster, this crab."
Me, honestly. I would have missed the whole conversation too. You know, I love a crab.
That is what Kendrick would do. 100%. We'd all be like freaking out about it. And later he'd be like, oh, I wasn't paying attention. I was just eating.
You know, especially if they gave me my boiled eggs and they put the right sauce on there. You know, I like a lobster, crab legs, and some shrimp. Like, you know, I need it all. If it was my kind of, now I might have missed it because Bria might have had my blood pressure through the roof with all the damn Old Bay she put in there. But I was going to miss it one way or the other because I was going to have me a good time with that stuff. So I would have been just like Noelle, like, wait a minute, what happened? Where was I? Like, you were right there.
She's like, that makes a difference. I'm like, there's been a whole day that this has been happening. This has been out in the open and you didn't know.
Right.
Oh, God. But this is why Noelle's upset, because she told Summer that she liked Alex. And Summer was like, totally fine. We actually just hung out and whatever, or something like that. And so Summer doesn't want to do that. So then she gets back to the house and she talks to Summer and she's like, Noelle's like, I don't like to do that. Summer's like, it was just convenient. It was just, you know, go ahead, please do it. She's like, nope, not going to go there. But then Summer goes into the truth booth with a cowboy hat, a bikini top, and all the energy.
Same.
She goes, when I say I'm hanging out with someone, that means doing shit. It's none of your business when you barely know that person. Ooh. And then she goes, and now she's irritated that I didn't tell her enough, but you want to pursue the man I hung out with. But you said she could.
Right.
So don't be doing that.
Oh.
That's why I'm like, Summer is a little bit more toxic than she appears on the surface.
Her and Alex might be more perfect for each other than we care to admit. That's the thing.
And Alex, by the way, Alex loves this. When they're at the gym talking about like how, you know, Summer might be a little mean girl. He's like, she's like a mean girl.
Yep.
Right? Summer's the problem. Okay.
God. He always gets the out with this group because someone else does something and he's able to piggyback off of it immediately and
like
throw it off
like
of him.
That. He's like, oh, I'll pick up that one. Yeah. Summer's Summer's bad. Huh, guys? Right? Remember what she did with me? Right?
Right. It's like, no, you had a hand in that. Thank you.
Yeah, dude. No, thank you. Okay, but now the conversation, so they're back at the house, all the guys are in their little like bunk bedroom. And Preston goes, "You don't think you get a little handsy?" And I honestly thought it was about to just be Preston saying something. And no, but no, Alex and Amir are totally on this, in on this too. They're like, right. Yeah, like they both like start, like, well, just a little bit. Like, yeah, like when you're touching, like, oh no, we don't think it's anything bad. Blah, blah, blah. But then Amir goes, maybe your actions could be interpreted as being a fuck boy. Preston's just like, do I say it? And then finally he's like, interpreted, but go ahead. Like, I would have been the same way. I would have been like, oh, we have to say something, guys.
Right. What was that word? Say it one more time.
You can't say that again. You can't say interpreted.
Yeah.
Sir. But Preston says, look, what the girls feel bad about is they haven't talked to Tasia to know if she's cool with this type of stuff. And Nick goes, Tasia knows me. She knows me, you know, and I haven't given her a reason not to trust me.
Huh? Where?
What?
She didn't. No, okay. Sir, so she didn't watch the show. Okay. You didn't let her watch the show.
Yeah. You said, no, there's no need for you to watch it. It's just drama. It's stupid because you gave her all the reasons not to trust you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
All the reasons. Then Nick goes to their room where Summer and Jordan are in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, he's like pacing. He's like, God, I'm just uncomfortable. They don't know what's just happened. They have no context. And then he goes, do I ever make you guys uncomfortable? And I really wish they had been like right now.
Exactly.
Right now in this very fucking moment.
And I love that Shanice was the one that was making eye contact with him. But Jordan under the covers, fully under covers, being like, well, you do get a little handsy sometimes. I was like, there we go. Here we go.
I would be hiding under the covers too. Like, is he gone?
Right.
I don't want to answer him. Why is he asking me?
Everything about that is just so like, we're down here. You're up there, like looming over us, asking us. Like, no, we'll be out soon. We're going to take this nap. We'll get dressed. Like, ask us then. That's when we have a conversation. Not in the throes of our bedroom as we're trying to sleep in our lingerie. Get out of here.
You've learned nothing.
Nothing. Goodness.
Creep of all creeps. God, this is making me uncomfortable right here. You're freaking
right. Goodness.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Kendrick, as always. Don't forget to follow Kendrick at Reality Comics 2 and check him out everywhere you get your podcasts, Reality and Comics 2. And thank you to the chat. Love you guys so much. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and/or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm. Or something. You can also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.